You're listening to It's Confirmed with Tomiko Torres, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. Happy Tuesday and welcome back again. I got the craziest feeling that today is going to be a mind-blowing experience on this show today. There's a young lady, well, let me just say this, video vixen that is coming on the show today. I can't give her name because she is a video vixen that has been around for decades. And she looks absolutely fabulous, by the way, guys. You know, those video vixens, they keep up their bodies. They look great. She reminded me of an Asian doll baby. You know, the pretty eyes, the hair. I remember the Jay-Z, Beyonce, Solange elevator, the $50 billion elevator kick, you know, from Solange. Shout out to Solange for defending her sister. But this video vixen is Becky with the good hair. So I just wanted to let you guys know that. So this young lady is one that has done the videos with Outkast, G-Unit, Rick Ross, Usher, Ricky Martin, Nelly, and Chris Brown. And let me tell you something, guys. She has a really tormenting background, you know, of dealing with some things that involved another person that had criminal activities going on, which she could have been found guilty if found out that she was like a co-partner, you know, something like a Bonnie and Clyde type of thing. That's the impression that I got. But she's coming on the show today to spill some tea and, you know, share her story of justice and being a beneficiary to a guy, you know, that she met and she fell in love with. And he's like, hey, you know, you're the beautifulest woman I've ever met. When I die, I want you to be in charge of all of my finances. So she's those type of video vixens that she goes for the men with the money, you know? So it's kind of hard to pull the wool over her eyes because she's dealt with all these high-end rappers. And maybe we can get some information out of her in regards to how does she deal with being in that industry of high-end, you know, rappers, million-dollar guys, you know? How does she work well with other video vixens? But that's just a little piece of the cake. But her tormented story is her lifestyle, this video vixen lifestyle and coming out of it and then getting involved with a criminal and being a part of a criminal enterprise, basically. You know, it may have some people that listen to the story in tears. It, you know, some of the things that will be said may be a little hilarious because she has a outstanding personality. So it may be a little disturbing. You know, I would say that this show today is going to be like not a rated PG for sure, because one thing that I wanted to bring to your attention before she comes on is the fact that, you know, Becky with the good hair, you know, that song touched a lot of women in a lot of different ways. And for us to know now that Becky with the good hair is actually going to be on my show, you know, not to spill the Jay-Z, you know, messiness, because that's not what we're going to do today. But we won't do that at all. I like Jay-Z. And I love Beyonce. So we won't, like, spill any tea about what happened and what caused that elevator to shake on that particular night when Solange threw that karate kick. We won't talk about that. I'll brush it across a little bit. But that won't be our main focus. It will be finding out about the criminal activity that she has or has not participated in being this high class video vixen. Now, I know a lot of people will say, you know, what does this video vixen have to say that could possibly be so hilarious? Because usually these video vixens, when things go bad financially for them and they can't get work, what do they turn to do at that point? You know, and hearing some of the things that she's talked to me about, you know, personally, is more so like, ladies, protect your men at home, because, you know, she kind of reminded me of Superhead, if you don't know who that is. But Corinne Stevens, that's her name. That's her. Yeah. So it kind of reminds me of her. Like, I'm not making money in this industry right now. So what's left for me to do besides sleep with other people's husbands? So it's a lot that goes with this whole video vixen lifestyle, you know, the rappers, the parties. Basically, it took her a while to know that sleeping with people's husbands was definitely not the way to go. But, you know, these are things that happens in that world. And also sharing in a little bit of her backstory prior to the, you know, Becky with the Good Hair song and the whole $1 billion kick in the elevator. She was involved for many years. Of course, I can't mention the name, guys, but she was involved for many years with a married man that is a very high net worth individual in the music industry that is married. And that's why I can't mention his name. I don't want to start a scandal, or, you know, I just don't want to start a mess because it could get messy. And I like to thank the producers for LA Talk Radio for keeping the show clean, because it could get messy. But she's the young lady, to give you a recap of Outkast song. I think that was I Like the Way You Move with Big Boi in it. She was the girl that was dressed very, you know, sexy, because she's a video vixen. But she was the one that was like posing in front of the car and I guess wiping the car down and, you know, being just who she is, a video vixen. But I want her to come on the show and I want her to tell you guys more about what she experienced, you know, in this world of crime, dealing with, you know, this gentleman that came in her life. And of course, at some point in time, when you get into this world of being a video girl, a video vixen, what happens is they use you. They promise you, which leads to anger, emptiness, and denial, you know, and those are not my words. Those are her words, by the way, guys, because I don't want to put things in people's mouths. But I want her to come on and give us the whole story. And I'll try to get, I'm getting messages as we're on, guys. And I will try my best to get as much information out of her as possible in regards to, you know, Becky being Becky, pretty much. And, you know, trying to ask her things that maybe she'll say on her own versus me having to throw it out there like a softball and hit her in the head with it. So this could be really something good for you to teach your daughters, as far as profession goes, to stay away from the modeling, because you got to be real careful today with modeling jobs. It may not be all modeling. It may be criminal activity such as human trafficking. Is very big. It is humongous right now. They're actually shipping bodies frozen to get, you know, they need a liver, they need a kidney, they need a heart. Some people need a brain. And I'm not trying to be facetious by saying that, but these are the things that's going on today. So let's hear from Patty and find out her video vixen woes and the criminal activity that she's been a part of that no one seems to really know about. Because can you imagine, I'm a video vixen, I'm going for a job interview, and hey, well, what were you arrested for last year? They don't even ask that question. You look good. Guess what? You got a great body and a pretty face. You fit the cue of the next video and whatever goes afterwards. So keep your kids away from those professions. Tell them to stay in school, get educated, especially know what the law says so you can defend yourself if you need to. So
hello,
guess what? Patty's on, guys. Hey, Patty, how are you?
Hi.
How are you doing today?
I'm fine.
Okay, I gave you the name Patty because there's a few names that I had for you. Patty, Shyla, Becky. So I don't know which one you prefer me to call you.
Becky.
Okay, Becky. So let me ask you something, because, you know, we had an in-depth conversation about this gentleman that, you know, you met, you fell in love, and what happened in that relationship. And by the way, let me just tell the callers that, callers and listeners, because they're calling in, I can't answer right now because she's going to get to it for you. Hold on, folks. But I was explaining to them your profession as a video vixen and giving them all of the high-end rappers that you have been in videos with and have been very successful over the last 2 decades. So give me a little backstory about you being a video vixen and how did that affect your life?
Well, you know, dealing with being a video vixen, you deal with a lot of different men and different personalities and to that, you know, state. But then, you know, it's hard to have a relationship now in my life because I've been through so much. Men with power, men without power. And it's a big difference when it comes to that. A lot of those rappers and celebrities that I've dealt with, they're very cocky. They're assholes. Can I say that?
Oh, absolutely.
These men, they power trip. So they feel that you have to be obligated to what they do and what they say because, you know, they got the money and they're the celebrity. And that's
so,
a problem for me a lot.
So like, were like some of these rappers like involved and married, and were you ever like involved?
Well, the majority of them had wives. I was considered to be the pursuit girl. And I accepted that.
You were number two?
Yeah, I was the number two girl.
Were you happy with being like number two?
Well, when I first started doing it, I really didn't care. But then as I got older, you know, and I was dating people, and then I started falling in love with these guys, and I wanted more. I even asked one of them a question: hey, when you die, who's going to be able to be on that death certificate? Who's going to be able to bury your body? Who's going to be able to do that? And he told me, you're not going to be able to do that. My wife will. And that opened up my eyes.
Wow. So for you, dating the millionaires and, you know, maybe a $1 billion event that could have went down in an elevator because of you. Like, how do you feel about, you know, playing that role? Like, have you ever ran into any of their wives?
Oh, I've had the wives call me. I even became friends with their wives. So one girl, and she knows to be, she wanted to set him up because she was trying to divorce her husband and she really wanted to, you know, get him. So I had a friend and she was like, you know, we're women. And we should be able to stick together. This is what she was telling me. And he was lying to both of us because he told me that he would just only be sleeping on the couch. He had a whole other room in the house. He was doing all these things that he was in with his family. But then I had a friend that knew him and knew his wife, said they're happy. They're with the kids out, the barbecue. They're doing everything together. And when my friend sent me a picture of him doing that, he lied and told me, well, We're trying to repair. So, oh, okay. And I dated that man for almost 3 years.
Wow.
He stung me along for three years.
Well, not to be too personal, because, you know, 3 years in, usually after like a few months, the condom comes off. So did you guys ever entertain unprotected sex?
We did. We did. And, you know, that was a mess.
Okay.
And I couldn't understand with him. Like, I couldn't understand with him. How could he sleep with me and go home and sleep with his wife? And I don't know. I was just thinking, I don't know. Maybe because of my own issues I had with my father. Maybe that was the problem. You know, my dad, him and my mom, they were really, it was like a family. We were a family of three girls. And he was just a great dad. And then he decided to have another child outside of his marriage. And then my mother lost trust in him. And then I saw all those things. I saw him lying. I saw the women disrespecting my mother. And then that just put, like, you know, a toll on me.
Okay. So
after that happened, me seeing that growing up, I just, like, really was to the point that, like, I was saying, fuck men. I'm going to use and abuse them. And I got what I wanted out of the situation. I was able to get a home, cars, jewelry, furs, all those types of things. I was able to get all of that. But at the same time, I wasn't happy. I didn't have the man fully.
So then now you fast forward your life. You're an adult now. Mindset, your mindset is like, I'm done with this nonsense. I'm going to look for real love. And then what happens? You find real love for a few months. You're planning a wedding. And then what was it about that guy that said, okay, here we go again?
He didn't have all the money those other guys had, but I was willing to accept him for him loving me as I was. Even him knowing my history of me being a video vixen and dating different men, he accepted me with a lot of different things. He was great. He, in the beginning of the relationship, he was the best. He was always there for me. You know, he helped me with everything, supported me mentally and physically. And after that, you know, then things started getting weird. One day, he wasn't from here. He was from the Caribbean, from the Bahamas. And he had a lifestyle that he couldn't explain. I was saying that things was weird with him. He would, like, at nighttime, he'll wake up screaming. I'm like, why is this man screaming in the nighttime when he's sleeping in the bed? I didn't understand that. And then he would say to me, you know, he had a trauma. His mother was sick. His mother had HIV, and she was sick, and he had sent home money to her all the time. And then, you know, he would say to me that he had two kids. He had a son and a daughter, and the daughter lived with the mother. But then the mother sent her to Florida to live with the sister. And the daughter, she was doing things, and he had to be able to bring the daughter into our lives. And I said, wait, hold up. I didn't sign up for a kid. So that's when the issue started between us, because he wanted to bring his daughter in and live with us. And I was like, I wasn't ready for that. A teenager, and she was doing a lot of things, bad things, and being disobedient to her aunt in Florida. And I was like, I wasn't ready for that. So that became a problem. And then one day he woke up screaming again out of his sleep. And I said, what's wrong with you? And he was sweating. He's like, oh, I'm just thinking about this girl that got in the crossfire when I killed this guy. I said, what? You did what? He's like, oh, no, forget it. So then a couple of days went by, and I asked him, like, you know, what was that about? He said, oh, it's nothing. And then eventually, I'm like, we were going to have dinner. And then he said to me that, oh, there was this guy that he did, this guy that he was dealing with. And there was a little girl, a little 7-year-old girl that got, and he shot the guy and killed the guy. And the little girl got caught in a crossfire. And he has dreams haunting every night about this little girl, because he actually saw the gun kill the girl and she fell. So then come to find out. So something said to me, well, I'm going to Google his name. And this was already 5 months into our relationship. This man was ready to marry me. And I was ready to, he bought me a ring. I accepted his engagement. I accepted all of that. And then something said to me, let me Google his name. So I Googled his name. His name didn't come up. And then I sat up there and I said, wait a minute. Then he told me that he was on a green card. He said he's on a temporary green card here. And I was like, okay. And then he told me that because of his green card, he couldn't get a bank account. So he wanted me to help him get a bank account. And then he wanted me to help him get credit cards. And then he wanted me to help him do a lot of different things. And he really wanted me to help him get his green card to come in to live here in America. And I was like, well, we went and we got the permit. And we were supposed to get married by a certain time, but I didn't go through with it. Because then I found out he was really a hired hitman. After I went into more details and more investigating more about him, he was a hired hitman. He was running from someone.
Wow. So were you like scared at this point?
Hell yeah. 30 days. I packed up all my shit. I left everything in the house. And I left and I disappeared. I moved.
Wow.
He thinks right now I'm out of the state, somewhere gone. He doesn't know I'm still here in the same state that he's in. But I don't know. I'm saying to myself, he's a hired hitman. He might be able to find me. I don't know.
Wow.
But I pray every day in my life. I'm scared every day as I walk up the street every day. And I stay in the house all the time. I don't go outside. I really don't. I stay in the house a lot. And then I try to date other people. It's hard for me to date other men because I don't trust them. Anything that looks and smells like something funny, I push them away. So that's affected me a lot because I trusted someone and I cared about them a lot. And then to find out, you never know who the hell you're dating. So now it's to the point where I feel like I need to have a whole DNA application, and just have a whole background check on this man that I deal with. I need to make sure his health is healthy and just make sure he doesn't have any diseases or cancer or anything in his family. Because I do not want to deal with any of that.
Well, let me ask you.
I am broken.
Did you guys have like safe sex while you were together?
Well, for the first 3 months we did. And then after that, you know, we were going to get married. So I said, okay, I'm going to take this chance.
Wow. Now you're in fear of your life. You were dealing with a hired hitman that was out here. And that's just one situation that you know of. Maybe he killed a lot more people that you're unaware of. Like, what would happen if, like, the FBI came to you and said, listen,
those are the things I thought about. Crime.
Like, what would you do?
What else can I do? I'll be in shock. I don't know what I would do. I really know. That's why I ran so fast, because I was scared about that. I was thinking too, also, what if one night he decides and he flips? Because it also too, like I said, he couldn't sleep at night. And then I found out that he was into drugs. He was taking Percocet. And then he couldn't do shit. It'll be days that he couldn't use the bathroom. And he'll have problems using the bathroom. I'm like, why can't you use the bathroom? And then one day I took one of the pills and I looked at it. I said, wait a minute. I looked up the pill and it said Percocet. So he was addicted to Percocet.
Wow. Maybe he had an accident at some point in his life. Or was he just like, you know, some people get addicted injury.
He said that he had a scar on his forehead, and he said that he had a bad motorcycle accident in the Caribbean. And the bike flipped and he hit his head and it cracked his skull. So he said they gave him, then when he started telling me the truth about things, he said that he hit his head and they caused him to give him pain medication. And that's why he got addicted to the Percocet. And now he just buys them off the streets from anyone. And I used to see there were a few, and then also too, he had these weird people coming to the house. I'm like, who is this coming to the house? Because we automatically, like, instantly, I thought this man was the man for me. I moved in with him. We moved together. I was living in North Carolina. I moved. I was visiting my friend, and that's how I met him. And I completely was like, well, come and live with me. And I moved in with him. And we had a whole life together, living just like with soon to be husband and wife.
Wow. What? So then now, after, you know, he's like history, well, for now, and then you meet another guy and you fall in love and he says, listen, When I die, you're my beneficiary of everything I own. Tell me a little bit about that relationship.
Oh my God. So I meet this other guy. And there's something about these Caribbean men. I love Caribbean men because I'm Caribbean. So, you know, it's I just feel like they're stronger. They're like, they're more, their morals are different. Everything is different. So he meets me, and this guy is an older guy. And he was in his like late 50s. He's older than me, so like a couple of years older than me. So I'm like, okay, he's stable. He knows he was a professor he was a professor in a college in New York. And he was great guy. We became friends, everything. He was married, but he was getting divorced. He wasn't living with his wife. And then we got into a relationship. So the divorce happened within that process of that time. And then, you know, he says to me, you know, I love you so much. I want us to get engaged. I want us to get married. But I'm going to make you a beneficiary to everything I have. And I'm going to give you power of attorney for this. So basically, something happened along the way where he got sick. And he caught a stroke. And then, next thing you knew, I did my homework. He had a house, everything, but he owed all these taxes. He owed a lot of money to a lot of people. So he dies. Now, me being the beneficiary, so they basically, I had to pay for him to bury him. This man he didn't have anything set up properly. But during that process, that was my fault because I didn't do my homework, but I thought because he was so smart and educated that he had all those things set up in my, and I didn't take the time to find out if he had a life insurance. I didn't take the time to sit there and find out anything about him. This man was broke and I had to cremate him.
So you paid for his cremation?
I had to pay for his cremation. Yep.
The beneficiary.
Nope. Yep.
So how does that like?
The nurse, at the end of the day, the nursing home called me. Everything called me. He had me down as everything because he got sick. And I had to work and have to take care of him. I couldn't take care of him, so he was in the nursing home. So everything was set up where everything was for me. I had to take care of everything. And he was getting Social Security. After a certain time, I think he was getting some type of money from the state. I don't know. I think it was Social Security or something. I'm not sure exactly what it was. But it was something he was getting that they were paying for the nursing home for him to stay there.
So let me ask you this question. You know, you're a different kind of woman, you know, just due to your profession. You know, all of these million-dollar people that you have business relationship with, you know, with the videos and so on. How do you find yourself in a situation where you end up with a man that has absolutely zero? Because, is that like some pre-qualification check you do to say, okay, I know he has a million in the bank. I know he just bought me a $100,000 watch. He just bought me a $200,000 car. How do you end up not QCing your next, should I call it a victim or should I call it, I'm just looking for true love and I just haven't found it?
I think that's what that was. I'm searching for something else within these men and I couldn't find it. So the little bit of attention or love that was so pretty and so fabulous, all the other things were blocked. That's exactly what happened. All those things were blocked out.
So do you think that in that particular situation, you weren't really looking for the money? You were really just looking for love? Or when he said, listen, hey, I got a house. I got this. I'm going to leave you all this money. You know, something happens to me. Do you think maybe you were high powered mentally on I'm set for life if he dies? Or if this man dies, I'm going to be heartbroken.
I think that, you know, I thought that he had everything set up, like I said, because this man was a smart, educated man. I thought he had everything set together. And I didn't want to come into the relationship and seem like, oh, he's an older man. I'm coming to take his money.
Do you feel like you kind of played the role of, you know, I love you, but I really just want the money?
And I don't think it was never like that with me and Roger. I don't think so. His name was Roger. I never think I thought that way because he was really good to me. He was good. He was a good man to me. He catered to all my needs. Like, he was good to me. So I think I was blindsided by that.
So,
and that's a really that counted to me, especially that dealing with all these other assholes, their power trips. He wasn't like that. He was more humble. But at the same time, everybody has a past. Everybody has history. So I really didn't get into details of what his lifestyle was.
So when you, I'm going to backtrack for a second on the hitman. So when you were with the hitman, was it because he was spending a lot of money on you or you genuinely loved him?
I don't think it was love. It was more of the money thing. He took good care of me too also.
Okay.
But then he wanted something too also. He wanted me to help him get his green card to be here legally. So that was kind of like a trade-off.
So that means he would have had to give you real information to get that type of stuff.
Exactly.
So if, you know, women today are struggling with holding on to their man, you know, because of, you know, women that are the video vixen women, and no offense to you at all, Becky, but what would you say to women that are not taking care of their, you know, husbands, boyfriends, spouses at home? What advice would you give them?
Well, I don't think it's more so the woman, just from experience and me listening. Men are like lions in a den. They always gotta have something. They get bored quick. They can have the best woman ever. They can have a great family, and they can fuck it up in an instant because they're greedy. And I don't have the time. It's not even the woman's fault. It's just the man. That's what men do. So the women who don't treat their men well is because that man gave them a reason to not treat them well. They've cheated, so trust has been lost. You know, a lot of different things go play with that. You know, the man, you know, he's done something where that the trust is gone. Once you lose trust in a relationship, it's never the same. And my advice for women is that if you have a man that cheats on you, leave him, because it's not going to ever be the same. Kids or not, I understand a broken home, and some women say they don't want to have a broken home, but your peace of mind is the best thing ever.
That's so do you ever get like married men that come and say, well, listen, because, you know, they're always the victim. I'm lonely. My wife doesn't cook for me. She doesn't fix herself up anymore. Because isn't that the ultimate attraction? You know, you're beautiful. You're sexy. You're eye candy. And then he has this woman at home who doesn't fix her hair. She's not the makeup lip gloss girl. She doesn't wear heels. She's a Reebok chick, you know, like. Do you ever have those conversations to find out, like, what's missing at home?
I do. You know, half of the time, first of all, in the beginning in a relationship, I call it the horny moon in the beginning of a relationship, because everybody's horny. You're having sex. You're enjoying each other. And then, you know, after that, what's after that? 6 months, after 6 months, real life kicks in. Bills got to get paid. Kids are here. Everything. But at the same time, I believe in a relationship, you need to be able to have communication. You have to be able to tell your spouse, hey, I don't like this. I need you to get sexy for me. We're going to work on trying. So maybe we need to get a babysitter to make our night be a night for us at least once a month. We need to be able to communicate with each other to the point where we can understand each other so we don't have that problem. Because especially depending on what are they into? Because these days couples are into having sex with other people, bringing other people into relationships, but you have to have understanding. So if you understand each other, you'll have the best relationship ever. Because a relationship is a job. It's a full-time job. And if you can't communicate with that person that you're involved with, then it's not going to work. Because life kicks in. You got mortgage. You got the bills. You got the kids. You have just everything in life. You got the mother-in-laws. You got the everybody that comes in and comes into your circle. So you have to be able to balance all that out. Once you can do that, you'll have the best relationship ever.
So what do you think about, you know, the married men that you've dealt with that basically, because your profession is video vixen, that, you know, become psychologists? Like, do they ever come and, like, share their family issues to, like, make you feel sorry for them? So, you know, they can have, like, a bedroom shoulder to cry on.
That's what they do. That's exactly what they do. They come in there with a story. And then there's some of them that even say, hey, you know what? I'm going to be truthful to you. I'm married. I love my wife, but we can't communicate. We can't do this. We can't do that. But I want to be able to find somebody that I can come and talk to. I want to be able to have someone that I could be able to share certain things with.
And well, the sharing.
Half the time, that's exactly what I did. I was just that second person they can come and talk to and be and have fun with and have be not stressed out.
So the sharing becomes caring. And is there such a thing as Netflix and chill or chicken and dickin? You know, you ever heard those terms before?
I've heard the chicken and dickin before because some men say, I don't have time for Netflix. I'm grown. I don't have to do no Netflix. I'm fucking and we sucking. What's up? That's what they say. But at the same time, I don't know. These men, boy, I tell you, they got a lot of stuff going on.
I mean, have you ever encountered a guy that would say, listen, okay, I'm married. I'm never going to leave my wife because I love her. I just want to do this one night thing. You're like in the video, you know, you got paid after the video session is over. Listen, I want you to come meet me in my hotel room and let's like get it going. And have you ever been in a position where they don't want to wear a condom and they're married?
Oh, yes. There is a lot of men that don't want to wear condoms. I don't do condoms. So basically they're endangering their wife. So they're saying to me that I don't give a damn about my wife. Anything you have, I'm willing to take it home to my wife. I've dealt with a lot of men that say that. A lot of men that don't want to wear condoms. They want, I want to feel you. I want to feel all of you. And then you want to take my
and what, and what your do you wife. Say? Like, what do you say? Like, sure, feel me.
No. I say no because I'm going to protect myself. I don't know what his wife has. You don't know what his wife is doing. And I definitely don't know. If he can do that with me, who am I? How many women has he asked to do this with?
But sometimes
I'm not gonna be the first.
Where you're comfortable with the person and they're like, okay, you know, we've been doing this for a while. And then 3-4 months go by and they're married. They're never leaving home. And I'm just trying to protect, you know, myself and your wife. And what happens after this 3-month trial goes by and they're still in the picture and the condom comes off?
Then I'm going to the clinic because the way how my vagina is set up, anything that's weird in it makes me get some type of yeast infection or some bacteria vaginosis, BV, something like that. So I can't. I have to stick to what, if I'm not dealing with a person by myself and that person is dealing with another woman, my body tells me that. That's how my body is set up. So I have to protect myself.
So if you kind of got something, you're going to know like, hey, I got it from him type of thing?
Yeah, that's the person I'm dealing with. Yes, because and that means he's having sex with another person. Because my body tells me that.
Wow. So, Becky, I hope to get you back on the show one day because I have like millions and millions of people sending messages. Millions is exaggerating. Thousands is more like it. Sending, you know, questions that they have that they want answers to. I hope you'll be willing to come back on one day to answer
definitely.
Some.
I would love to. Well, we could talk about anything. Say all this. I have so many stories to tell you about all these men. Oh, a lot.
Oh, wow, Becky. Well, Becky, thank you for coming on today and we'll reach back out and touch you.
All right. Bye.
All right, bye now. Boy, oh my gosh. Guys, did you hear that? I was trying to get the whole elevator thing out of her in the beginning, and she kind of like bypassed it. But, you know, I don't want to get anybody sued or get sued myself for putting the billion-dollar story out there. But that was like crazy to me. That Becky, I tell you, Becky with the good hair. She kind of reminds me of Superhead, you know, Corinne, you know, the whole industry thing, the whole scandal that broke that caused a lot of people in the industry to get a divorce. Yeah, that type of thing. I don't know if you guys heard me. I was literally choking on my own spit. Or should I say saliva? That sounds a little bit more appropriate for the session. She's saying that, you know, after a couple of months, you know, I'm married and, you know, anything goes at this point. Couple of months in, we're comfortable. We know each other. Hey, we're friends. We're together. You know, this is a constant thing for us. So let's just make it happen. I could tell you guys, this was really, really deep. This topic, this conversation tonight had to touch your soul, down deep in your soul, to find something to say, what can I possibly do to keep my other half interested in me? Well, I would say be like Becky, you know, keep the communication open. Seems like the men that talk to her want to talk about things that are going on at home and they're not happy. And basically, Becky with the good hair is willing to be that companion for, you know, your other half. And what do you do in a situation like this when there's trouble at home, your other half is not happy? Like, what do you do to make things better where you don't have to ever engage with knowing that there's a Becky out there that is on the prowl for a man that is lonely, seeking attention, has a little money in the bank, and is trying to like suck him in. Like take the whole watermelon and put it down her throat, so to say. It's like she's actually sucking your men in. So, hey, I better watch out. She might suck mine in too. Hey, you never know nowadays. He might say, I'm not happy either. I hope not, because I love him dearly. I know he loves me too. But you gotta keep your eyes open, because just as you may think in your mind, I got a happy situation at home and my man isn't going anywhere. You got Becky across the street saying, hi, I'm Becky. You coming over? I need my plumbing fixed. So guys, listen, I mean, you know, I don't know how you would, I don't know how you would do this or pull it off, but make sure you have a condom somewhere so you can protect your wife at home that doesn't know if there's another lonely soul out there that Becky is putting a smile on his face. And then your husband is going out there to see Becky after Becky is seeing all these guys that are lonely. Oh, they're calling in, guys. They're calling in. I can't take these calls right now. But I mean, it's crazy because you just don't know what to expect today. You can think you have a happy home, and then you have a happy home from hell, because then you have the guy who's going to Becky and saying, listen, I'm never going to leave my wife. You know, I got kids, I got bills, I got $1,000 to play with. This is what I'm doing. And this is a true fact. I have a friend of my husband's that frequently goes to the Dominican Republic to have a little fun, and he comes back to America and he has like this happy home and he has children. So, you know, in my country, it's a working type of thing. Like, you know, this is not permitted everywhere in the Dominican Republic. It's permitted only in certain areas and it's considered working territory. So it is permitted in certain areas. Unfortunately, some women lie about their age just so they are able to, you know, I don't know, have a little fun, make a little money, more so make money because it's a third world country and there's not frequent food and luxuries like we have in America. So they have to do what they have to do to survive. But if you're in America and you have other opportunities and there's like, okay, there's like thousands, millions, zillions of men out here that you could possibly choose. But see, the thing is, Becky's not choosing the men. The men are choosing her. So there's a difference there. You know, these guys, there's a lot of guys that play victim out here today. And, you know, playing victim will get you Becky because her aim is the dollar sign. Your aim is she's going to stroke my ego, make me feel good. She's going to say whatever she needs to say to cash in on that dollar bill. And guess what, guys? There's nothing wrong with it. I'm not going to say it is because everybody has a different hustle today. It's just that my hustle, your hustle is different from Becky's. Okay? So be mindful. You know, during the pandemic, this COVID-19 is out here. Everybody's dropping like flies. We don't know what's in the air. Everyone has forgotten about condoms. I don't see any more condom commercials on TV. Everyone has forgotten about HIV and AIDS. Like, everybody has forgotten about the diseases that are out here. You know, for the guys that are on Pornhub and what's the other one? Snapchat. And, you know, I forgot the other one. But there's a lot of them out there today that people are on, you know, soliciting. And this is really a bad, nasty thing. Because just think about it before you lay down with this person that you are going to lay down with. Oh, the other one is, my producer just told me, tagged. Tagged is the other one that a lot of the, I hate to say it, but the lower level women, they have to go on tagged because that's not like a real site of, you know, solicitation. It's a site for usually drug addicts, you know, to go on and find a John for the night. Not like Becky, the video vixen. Like, she's in that arena with the guys with the money. So it's a huge difference there. But tagged is more for the drug addicts that are looking to get high for the night. Guess what? I'm getting high. I'm hitting people up. Who's coming to see me? You know, that's what that site is more like. You know, I don't know if you guys remembered, but during a show, I talked about that movie, The Hill Has Eyes, or The Hill Got Eyes. You got to check that out if you haven't. It's the little girl that never got hit by the radiation that was luring the people in. So I look back at that movie and it kind of reminds me of, you know, a younger girl, whatever, luring these men in, you know, and they're all going to end up in that pit, you know, like with all those cars at the bottom, you know, that type of thing. But guys, you got to be more protective of yourselves and your family. It's a lot of things going on out here today. And if you don't want to end up, you know, in a bad situation where your wife may have to use domestic violence if you bring her something home, you know, be sure to stay away from Becky with the good hair. It can get you into a lot of trouble, guys. You know, and I'd like to say thank you for joining me for this session. We will have Becky back on again to talk about some other things that she's experienced. And more about the hitman that she, you know, was in love with. and to answer some of the questions. It's a lot of questions that came across. Thanks for joining me. See you next week. Same bat place, same bat time. Tommy Torres signing off.
You're listening to It's Confirmed with Tomiko Torres, only on LA Talk Radio.